Hello, my name is Joseph Fabian, and today I'm here talking with Hilly Bailey from Holden, Maine, a nationally recognized Hall of Famer from New England. Hilly has dedicated his life to the art of square dancing. Hilly, tell us about where you were born and grew up, your life before square dancing.
I was born in Princeton, Maine, and we moved to Bangor when I was about 3 years old. And I grew up in Bangor, went to the Bangor schools, and graduated from Bangor High School, and settled down for just an ordinary life. At that time, I had no contact with square dancing whatsoever, although my grandfather had told me that he had danced square dancing down east in Maine many years ago, and that his favorite dance was Birdie in the Cage. So they were dancing, square dancing, many years before I was born.
Hilly, what was your first encounter with square dancing?
My first encounter was after the Second World War, and I guess I was probably about 30 years old, and a man by the name of Carl Rogers from the Extension Service at the University of Maine was coming around to the towns and tried to introduce square dancing to them as an adult recreation. He'd come to a town for 4 weeks in a row, a night, each week, and he was not so much a caller as he was a good leader. And after you attended three of those sessions, when you come in, he'd hand you a card with a call to a dance on it, and that was going to be the dance that you were going to try to call that night. And everybody tried it. Some liked it, some didn't. But I enjoyed it because I happened to pick a dance that I knew the tune, the Red River Valley. And I guess it was all right.
Hilly, can you tell me about the first days of square dancing?
Well, the first day of square dancing around here was when we had a man from the University of Maine, the name of Carl Rogers, used to come around once a month to a town to introduce to anyone that was interested square dancing. Not only did he introduce square dancing, but also contra dancing and folk dancing. It was all in one. And he had traveled to this town for four times and then expect the people in that group to have enough interest to keep it going and have someone step up that could cue them in their dancing or call for them. And it seemed to work good because there were square dance clubs popped up everywhere in our county. And it grew so fast that practically every town had a club. And it just blossomed right out. People were enjoying it, so. And that was where it started. And then it got into it further, where people began to slack off some of the dancing because they were dancing practically every night in the week. after many years, people seem to have tired of that. And in the teaching of the lessons now, you have to attend a long series of lessons before we are considered good enough to dance with the club. I think that kind of put a kibosh on some of the people who wanted to dance just as a recreation. The way I feel that the people, they wanted to dance for the fun of dancing and not be required to have to learn a lot of new movements and basic movements all the time to keep up with a club. In the old days, you might have an opportunity to go to a square dance. I'm talking 100 years ago now. Maybe four times a year when they'd have a barn raising or a big harvest supper or something. And if a fiddle player there, well, he'd play music for you to dance. And this would only happen a few times a year. So you didn't have to know all the elaborate figures and complicated moves of the modern square dance. If you were out of dancing for, say, 2 or 3 months, and then go back to your group to dance, you're going to hear things that you've never done before. And that's kind of discouraging for people. In the old days, you, after not dancing for 2 years, you could go back and step right in and have fun.
I understand you were part of the original group of Collar Lab callers to meet and begin formulating a set list. Can you tell me about those meetings? Where were they? Any person or any group of people stand out in your memory?
I was trying to think where that first one was. I think it was in St. Louis. And what we assembled for was to get all the calls basic so that they'd all have the same name, because people were coming up with making up new calls and new basic movements by different names. On the West Coast, it'd be with one name, on the East Coast, another name. And that would be confusing to the people dancing if they were traveling. So they thought they should get together. And just for an instance, the Star Through came out on the East Coast. On the West Coast, the same movement came out as the Snap-a-Roo. And things like that would confuse the dancer. So then they decided to make a form of a list of the calls and have them written down so everybody would know what they were. And I think that's worked out pretty good that way.
Does any one person stand out during those meetings as maybe a leader or someone who put a lot of input?
Bob Osgood. He was the editor of Cincinnati Magazine. And he dedicated his life to square dancing. And he was the spark plug of the whole thing out there. And with his having his magazine being a favorite magazine of a lot of dancers all over the country, he could put things across to them and explain things that where they wouldn't have a chance to get them explained. He'd do it in his magazine. And they also, they made a listening call lab of the different movements and numbered them, one thing another. So everything was getting lined up so that if you took square dance lessons on the East Coast, it would be the same as square dance lessons on the West Coast.
That was very interesting, Hilly. What was your first club? What was the name of it? Where was it at?
Well, the first club here in Dedham, we called it the Dedham Folk Dance Club, because we not only did square dancing, we did contra dancing and folk dancing. And then as our club grew and more clubs were built around us, we were getting people joining our club from all over. So we changed the name of it to the Country Cousins.
How many members did you have when you changed the name?
I don't know.
Or squares.
We had a big membership. And they were driving many miles to get here.
Speaking of miles, what was traveling like for you as a square dance caller?
Well, the first of it, we didn't have to travel much. There were so many clubs, it was just a short ways to another club. And if we booked a club out of town, it would probably be less than 50 miles away. And there was no problem there.
Did you have any limits on how far you would travel to call for a club?
No. Had no limit on it whatsoever.
Well, speaking on distance, I understand you did a square dance on a train across Canada, I believe.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay, we went across Canada on nearby Canadian Centennial train. There's 300 and some more dancers on that train. It was just square dancers on the train.
Were you the only caller, or were there other callers on the train?
No, there were 7 callers on the train. I was the only one from the U.S. on the train. And we danced 36 times, 36 big dances, in 2 weeks. We went from Halifax, Nova Scotia, to Vancouver Island. And we had some of the biggest dancers that I had ever seen. Dancers that were big enough that you had speakers on the stage and speakers halfway down the hall with people on the intercoms to tell them how the sound was coming. It was that big. Any place that the train would stop, either to refuel or ice up or whatever, we'd all get off the train, and whatever there was there to dance on, either grass or gravel or anything, we'd do a little dance. And going across the eastern part of Canada, I wondered why on a weekday there'd be so many people show up just to watch us dancing for 15, 20 minutes or half an hour. And then I looked at it on the map. That train serviced that whole country through there. And going from where the railroad track was to a main highway, probably over 100 miles. They knew this train was coming. And boy, they turned out to see it. Now, we followed the Eustis River up into the mountains. And then followed the Fraser River down. And come out on the west coast. It was quite an experience. Because we saw a lot of the country. We went through the Rockies. And we were on a buddy couple system. that when you pulled into a station going across Canada, there'd be a couple there that would pick your weight up and take you to their home, offer to do laundry for you, to give you a chance to shower or anything you want to, because they knew we was on the train for a while. And we made an awful lot of friends that way, very straight across Canada.
Sounds pretty exciting, and sounds like you had a lot of good memories and a lot of people.
Oh, we did. Yeah, and we had one little couple that met us in Ottawa, a little Chinese couple, and they had two little girls. Cutest little things you ever saw. And many years after this train ride had been over, they showed up one summer at my place. And they stayed with me for 2 or 3 days. And I showed them around the country here. There's things like that that made it so wonderful.
Yep.
Another trip that we had one time, some Canadian dancers got together and invited us to go with them to the Calgary Stampede. I think it was the 100th anniversary of the Calgary Stampede in 1975. And a caller from Nova Scotia and myself, they put us right on the program out there to call. And that was quite a thing, because they had some awful big dancers there. During the day, during the stampede, the whole main part of Calgary was shut down to automobiles, and they had check wagons along the sidewalk, and you just walk along in the morning and stop, and they'd hand you hot cakes and sausage from a check wagon that usually would be working on the range. And it was interesting to meet the people this way. So that was an experience there. And at the time that we took a sightseeing tour up through the mountains.
That train ride sounds pretty important. Did you do any other big square dance where you traveled or anything?
We did. We here in Maine was asked one time by the Chamber of Commerce in Bar Harbor, and I called for the Acadia Belt and Board, the square dance club in Bar Harbor. They were going to Nova Scotia on a Blue Nose ferry. There's a new ferry service taking off. And they wanted to go over and get business deals going on, not only in Bar Harbor, but also in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, where the ferry docked over there. And they wanted a social group to go over with them. Well, a lot of their people were dancing in our club at Bar Harbor. They thought it'd be nice to take square dancing over there. So they did. They invited us to go in an expense paid trip. And we went over and attended banquets and listened to the businessmen talk and one thing or another. And we met in the evening after our banquet. They had a ballroom dance for the businessmen. and there was a square dance club that formed in Yarmouth, and we were a square dance invited to go and dance with them. So that's where we went. At the dance, I met their Carlock, who was just fairly new at Colin. We picked up a very good friendship. This trip to Nova Scotia was supposed to be something that would happen once a year, but that's the only year that the businessmen did it. We had square dancers. We made friends with the square dancers over there, and they invited us back. So we started going over on our Memorial Day, and the square dancers from Nova Scotia would come over to Maine in September. It was a buddy couple system. You didn't have to take your car. Or you took the just foot passenger fare on the boat. And I think, if I remember right, it was about $7 a person on that boat. Very inexpensive way to travel. We enjoyed that exchange so much that meeting people and having a buddy couple over there to meet. Of course, I was always with the caller, Garnet Banks, and his wife Kay. And we'd become very good friends. And the exchange kept getting bigger. People looked forward to going over there and them coming over here. And on the 10th anniversary of that exchange, I had a medallion struck for that 10th exchange, and everyone that went received one. It was quite a memento. They cherished those. We had an interesting thing happen. The mayor of Yarmouth, on the first night that we went over, he came to our square dance from the banquet to see, you know, what it was and everything. And I figured that was nice of him to do that, because he was not a square dancer. And then he disappeared, so I figured he went to the other dance and would probably been there with the businessman. In a short time, he was back and spent the rest of the night with us. He was one of our biggest promoters for square dancing over there. One point in our life of this exchange was it was getting bigger. Calls were harder to get, and they had a brand new school. We tried to arrange to have that for the dance. No way. They wouldn't let us unless we guaranteed the floor. So we'd have to move into a smaller hall, which wouldn't hold us. The mayor found out about it. He went to the school department and told him. He said, "You let the square dancers have the hall." He said, "I'll guarantee the floor." He was one of our biggest promoters of square dancing. And he used to come over here on exchange. We carried the exchange on 15 years. And then Garnet Banks, the caller that I worked with over there, got transferred. He worked for the telephone company, and he got transferred. And it would be impossible for him to have an exchange where he was. It would be too far away from the port. So we had to call it good on the 15th. But even after all these years, it's been many years since we had that last exchange. And in 79, I think, the 15th, the people, we had these buddy couples over there, they'd pick them up at the boat, take them to their motel, drive them around, take them to church on Sunday, and give them to the dances, show them around. Those people got so friendly that when they'd have a vacation, they'd either show up over here in Maine to the buddy couple, or the Maine people would show up over there. And they are still doing it, even after all these years. They made friends for life. And on the 15th exchange, I had another medallion struck. And beside the medallions, I also had a dozen of those medallions struck in solid silver. One went to the mayor and his wife. My chairman that helped me out on it, he and his wife both got one. My wife Elizabeth and I got them. They were all edge marked. And the people that helped us the most, I think, even the manager of the ferry terminal, who would let us come in there and take over with so many people going, he'd let us check them off and take our word for it, which is really something. He was a big help. And on the 10th exchange, we took 435 from the U.S. over there on that boat. And they even installed a special electrical outlet on the upper car deck, so I could plug my set in and let them dance a little bit going over. We never danced too long because it was too tricky on the waves. We never knew what kind of weather we would have. But we all did a little bit of dancing, enough so they could say they danced on the boat. I think that is the biggest thing that I did in square dancing, because it's the friendship that made with these groups is still going strong even today, when a lot of them are not even dancing, and a lot of them have passed away.
Wow, that's something. Through your square dance calling years, you probably received a lot of awards, commendations. Which ones or which one stands out the most?
Well, the one that stands out the most, of course, is the Hall of Fame. Yeah, the New England Hall of Fame. And it recognized a contribution of the wife and I to all the time that we put in to the square dance movement. And that was quite a surprise to have that presented to us.
I'm holding it, and it's a beautiful plaque. It says, "To Hilly and Elizabeth Bailey. This was presented to you in 1997. Right now, I'm interviewing you in a room that used to be a kitchen for the stage stop dance hall. Understand, you built this whole place yourself. As I walk into the dance hall, it remains almost unchanged since its last dance. I can see the people and hear the chatter as people eagerly await for your needle to drop. Hilly, it is a beautiful hall. The floors, I understand, were buffed by slow shuffles and star-throughs and promenades through the many years. Any special memories you'd like to share with this hall, the stage stop?
Well, we built this hall just for square dancing. And first we had just the hall. And then we decided we got to have some place where the people could sit and have a cup of coffee. So we built the kitchen on. And that was a great asset. The kitchen was big enough so if they wanted to set out a tip, they could. And they would sit down to a large pine table and enjoy themselves. But, one thing that the people do miss now by not having this at a dance hall. In the old days, when they came here to dance, we danced every Friday night here. And dancers come many miles to be here. And mostly to meet their friends. I don't think my calling was that exceptional. It was just that they enjoyed being here with their friends and talking with them. And if they wanted to set out a tip, they could over here in the kitchen. Lived with a fine cook, and she used to have goodies for them. I remember one night, Bob Osgood from Cincinnati called up. He wanted to stop in and see it. He was traveling through the Bar Harbor. And when he saw the hall, it's a large log cabin. He mentioned the fact that when the first dance he ever called was in a log cabin out in California. And he said, "Will you be dancing here tonight?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Gosh," he said, "I'd like to come to a dance here." I say, "Well, why don't I see how many people I can get together? And you folks come here and enjoy yourself." And that's what we did. I made three telephone calls. One to Mount Desert Island, one to Machias down in Washington County, and one to Portland. And told them what was happening. The Bob Osgood was here and he'd like to have a dance here at the stage door. And he didn't want to call a dance, he just wanted to be here at a dance, he said. So that was okay. As it turned out, many miles in between the Portland and Washington County and Mount Desert Island. But as it turned out, we loaded it all. As I remember, there's no charge. We just got together for a dance. And the wife made biscuits, and we had strawberry shortcakes for intermission. And Bob couldn't get over it to be able to get that many people together so quick with just so few telephone calls. But they knew Bob. Most of them took his magazine, and you didn't have to ask them more than once to come. And that was the best of having your own hall. You could do what you want over in it. And just give the people a good time. And that's what we did.
That hall is simply beautiful. How many squares does that hall can that hall hold?
We've got them packed in there too close, I know that. But you can get 8 square in there, and they can dance comfortably. Good Lord, sometimes they'd have another square over there in the kitchen dance. But one thing about it, no matter what kind of trouble they had at home or at work or in their everyday life, once they come through the door at the day's job, that trouble was behind them. They might have had the same trouble when they left, but at least they had a few hours of retrieve from it. And people stopped in quite often going by, and they seemed like that back there. There was a couple stopped in last week. He's a lobster fisherman from down the coast. And they stopped in just to see how I was and what I was doing. And they said, "Boy, we sure do miss coming here." He said that was the very best time of their life when they were doing the square dance. And that's just great from them. No one asked them to say it, you know, they're good people. Quiet people.
Over the years, what were your favorite records, either patter or singing?
I like the Chinese Breakdown. I used to use that teaching. That's an auto record.
I think it's Blue Star.
I don't think there's any other particular one that stands out in my mind. Of course, we have some records for special dances, but
what year did you retire from square dance going?
Started calling in 49. It went 50 years.
When you retired from square dancing, what was your take on square dancing at that time? And compare that with where square dancing is today.
Well, square dancing was too. It would slow down some, but there was still good dancing around. But the reason I retired, I was out every night. And the wife had been taken sick. And she passed away. She always traveled with me. And without her, I knew I could never pick up another packer like she was. When we danced together, I knew where she was all the time. And at my age, there's no way I could pick up another one. So it's best to bow out then and wish them all good luck.
I never like asking this question, even of myself. Life is choices and free will, but do you have any regrets over the years?
I have no regrets about that answer, no. We had a good life with it. Both the wife and I enjoyed it, every minute of it. And we worked so good together that we were a good team.
What activities are you involved in now? Any musical instruments? Anything keeping you busy?
Well, I've slowed down. I'm 88 now. I do play the guitar some. And on Sunday afternoons, I go to a senior center in Bucksport. And there's a group of musicians meet there and just play for the older folks. That's what I say, the older folks, but I think there's only one woman older than I am there. But it's fun just to play music and sing for them. I enjoy doing that. And once in a while, I'll go to a nursing home and entertain them for an hour.
Well, I want to thank you for this interview and the time that you've spent. I feel extremely fortunate to have danced to your calling. You are in an elite group of callers that never settled for second best or halfway. I would like to thank you on behalf of the thousands of dancers who left their worries at the door, danced to your calling, and hopefully most forgot to pick up their worries on their way out as they headed home. Well, thank you very much, Hilly.
Thank you. I hope that's a
It'll be fun.